trình phát thanh dành cho đồng bào Việt Nam ở xa tổ quốc. Chương trình phát thanh cho đồng bào Việt Nam. Chương trình dành cho đồng bào Việt Nam ở xa.
Welcome to the Sinchiao Homemade Podcast. I'm your host, Nghĩa Mai. We have a very special episode for you today. It's a very cinematic episode, somewhat blockbuster of an episode. So let's meet our panel first. Back by popular demand, we have Vũ Minh Tú.
Hi.
And Phúc.
Hi.
And we also have also joining us is our special guest. He's originally from Russia, now based in Saigon, Vietnam. He's a filmmaker, a producer, and a musician.
Yeah, thank you.
Please welcome Boris Meshkov.
Yeah.
Did I get your name right,
really
Boris?
Close to the original.
Okay. And what is the original?
So it's like emphasis on I. Boris. It's in Russian. But in American version is Boris, emphasis on no.
Okay. Yeah. Boris Smekel.
You got to practice a little bit, but just call me Boris. It's okay.
Boris, yeah, that's fine. I make jokes about people mispronouncing my name.
Yeah, but mine is really tricky. Really hard to say what's going on in there.
Yeah, that's great. Let's catch up for a bit. How are you guys doing? First to our panel, how are you guys doing? How are things in where you are?
I'm okay. I need a haircut.
Are you in Saigon?
Yeah, currently I'm in Saigon.
Are you in Saigon?
Are we all of us in Saigon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think all of them in Saigon, except for our host. So I think we all share the same right now.
Currently, I'm at an undisclosed location, very secretive.
Yeah, and online.
Online. Yeah. You can track my IP address.
Oh, your curtain. I think that no one else in the city has that curtain.
You want me to open that curtain? Like, it has a great view. Let me actually, like...
Oh, wow. What?
All right,
let me
fucking do it.
Okay, let's admire Phúc's great view first.
Oh. Is this your bedroom?
You can't even see the view, but, you know, I can.
He lives close to mine, so we actually just 200 meters away or something like that.
Yeah,
so I know your view. I mean, I know it. I don't see it, but I know how it looks like. Okay, that's all from my side.
That's great. Definitely is also Saigon's still in the lockdown at the moment, for what I've heard.
Yeah, I need a haircut. But there's nobody giving out haircuts right now.
So. Yeah. I actually went to mine just yesterday. You know, that was my first haircut in 6 months, actually.
Yeah. 6 months.
Did you grow like a, you know, full mane and shit?
It was more of a half mane, like sort of a line cup. You know, it was very like 1980s Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm. Like slick back.
Yeah, slick back. I was part of, I was very much, in the groove, but I decided to, just trim it down.
Mulan Mullen. Greasy.
Yeah.
Greasy. I love it.
No, I decided to just, just trim it down, military style, put a bit of discipline.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I need a haircut.
Why don't you shave your head, man?
Yeah, I'm reaching that point. I'm like, I already ordered a fucking one of those hair trimmer thing, and I'm ready to just fucking buzz it.
I feel like this is the ideal time to rock ball head, because it's like we're gonna have at least 2 or 3 more months of lockdown. So you still have enough time to grow your hair back if your shaved head is a filler. This is the ideal time, man. There's no other time.
Yeah. But I kind of want to like rock the disheveled homeless look too, even though I have a home. You know?
It's very in style right now, looking like a bum.
Yeah, it is very in style right now.
That's great. Definitely. Hope needs a haircut, and hopefully. But anyway, we're gonna go straight into our main topic, which is you, Boris. Just talk a bit about your journey from Hollywood to Saigon via Shenzhen.
Exactly correct. It started in Hollywood, and so far it's happening right now in Saigon.
Fantastic. And also you have a very impressive like career resume. Like you've done lots of things. You started in TV pretty young.
Yeah, that's right.
Age of 7. Yeah, and just to like give us a taste of who you are, can you just give us, can you tell us something about yourself in like 5 brief sentences?
Won't be going too much in detail. So I'm just a Russian guy who does filmmaking, trying to make it in filmmaking. I was doing photo and video stuff for years. I was traveling a lot. I traveled 38 countries so far. I lived in Hollywood, China, in Europe. Now I live in Vietnam, so I've seen life, and my main passion is film, and I'm trying to make it there, trying to do whatever I can to leave my signature in history of cinema.
That's a very ambitious goal. So why did you choose Vietnam?
Choose me, actually. So as I mentioned, I lived in China for 3 years, and right after these 3 years, it happened like that I had to go. I had to move somewhere, and somewhere happened to be Vietnam. I don't know. It wasn't like the decision, like, hey, I live my life in China and tomorrow I'll go to Vietnam. No, it's just happened on the go. Things went really fast in the end of 2019, right before the virus. And China, they kind of smelled the upcoming virus or some kind of stuff, and they start kicking out foreigners and shit. So,
conspiracy time.
You can tell us, we are safe. We are in Vietnam.
Yeah, some juicy information.
There it was.
If you want the spicy story, so what in fact I saw, it's just 2 weeks of detention before I went to Vietnam. That was a Chinese detention. I cannot call it a jail, but it was kind of jailish. it wasn't definitely a 5-star hotel. you're right. I'm not risky to step into the conspiracy theories, but it is what it is. I got kicked out and I came to Vietnam, and it was probably one of the best moves in my life, one of the best choices I made. Of course, my life changed after China and Vietnam dramatically. And it changed into the better flow, I started doing what I really liked. I wrote my first series scripts in here. I did my first directorial step into like series production. And it all happened here in Vietnam after I got kicked out of China. I'm really happy to be here.
Fantastic. So Vietnam was sort of like your kind of breakthrough point.
Mm-hmm.
Breakthrough.
Yeah, I think time and place. It's like I went to the perfect place at the perfect time.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And briefly, what was it like living in China compared to Vietnam, mm-hmm. particularly.
Oh yes, Shenzhen. So it's completely different. There's some traditional and cultural mutual things that Vietnam and China share, but it's completely two different worlds. Talking about the people, the way they live, talking about everything, it's very different. So in China, it feels pretty safe. In Shenzhen, it feels pretty good living. You have money. As a foreigner, you have money and you have a job and you have a beautiful girlfriend. You have a nice apartment. You eat nice food. But behind that, there's nothing you really enjoy, you know. There is no soul in that place, Shenzhen. It looks nice, but does it feel like it doesn't really feel nice. But Saigon, yeah, it's not that developed. It's not that much money as in Shenzhen, Hong Kong, but it feels much better. And the quality of life itself, Vietnam, Saigon, that's definitely a winner.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And so, like, in terms of your like filmmaking style, like who are your inspirations?
Who inspires me?
Like in terms of style, vision.
Those artists I get inspired by, they come and go all the time. Sometimes they stay for a long time, like Tom York from Radiohead. Oh my God, that guy. Yeah, I think he inspired me most because the amount of music he produced and the quality, the depth of his art is quite impressive. So yeah, I think Tom York is a really example for me how a musician should be. Of course, Stanley Kubrick for me is like number one, always number one. My daddy, my cinema daddy. Yeah, my. Yes.
Wow, that went brand new pretty quick.
Yeah. So.
Daddy.
Hey, puppy.
Are you okay? Normally, I would just dismiss.
I'm good. I'm just. It's just
you,
that.
But like this is during the lockdown. I'm concerned about your mental health. Right?
Yeah, I know. My mental state is slowly deteriorating. I'm up to like a pack of camps now.
Right,
you know, I'm back up there again. Yeah, I went out for one day, and I bought those fucking farmers tobacco, you know, the hublau. And I've been hitting that pipe every fucking morning, every time I wake up now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you start talking about.
I don't know, man.
Right when I decided to give up smoking. Shit.
Oh dang. Yeah, no, don't give up smoking.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, don't encourage her, Graham. Don't do it.
Oh, fuck. So two's lighting one up right now. That triggers some sort of psychological response in me. I need to get a smoke. Keep talking, guys. I'll be back.
Okay. Yeah, you were talking about Stanley Kubrick being your daddy.
Yeah, I think nobody did it better than Stanley Kubrick in cinema. So,
wait, can I interject? Can I ask you a question? What's your most favorite movie from Stanley?
Oh, it's 2001, Space Odyssey. This is number one movie all time. It's the best film ever made. Nobody, till now, it's 50 years later. Nobody else even made anything close to this masterpiece. You know what I'm saying?
What I always wonder is that how people receive it when it first came out. You know, because nowadays it's so easy for us to, like, if we don't understand anything, we go online and we can read it immediately, like what's the meaning of certain symbolism or like a certain event in the movie.
Yeah.
So we take movie in quite instantly and passively nowadays, like we are smarter, but we didn't actually spend that much time to go over the movie by ourselves as often anymore. So like I wonder, like at that time, that movie 2001 Odyssey, right, when it came out, how the fuck people perceive it. Like, I'm not saying like the intellectual people, right? The common public.
Yeah.
Like how they accept it.
Mm-hmm. So it's 1968. This movie is getting released, and basically this event is the first, one of the first solid sci-fi appearances in cinema, maybe the first ever. Before that, there was like Metropolis, the German movie, it's like in '20s. Trip to the Moon by Georges Méliès, those kind of things about like a glimpse into the future. And this one, Stanley just did a really serious and strong step forward in that kind of thing. So imagine it's 1969 and you're living like just a guy in the States. You have a job, you have family, and blah, blah, blah. And all you know about the future is just some newspaper talks or, some... you know, some sci-fi novels on the magazines, like short stories, stuff like that. And here, you one day you just buy a ticket to the cinema and you watch this movie, and you're like, wow, there's space, wow, and there's like, wow, yeah, and there's like this circle of life, circle of technology, and of course, there is no chance you can understand that kind of film from the first time. For the first time, you're wondering what the fuck are doing, like several monkeys are doing for the first 20 minutes of the movie, and then you just leave the cinema. Yeah, but later on, yeah, this beautiful cinematic shots of spaceship in space, this planets, this music, and then the trippy finale. Yeah, it's definitely a step for people living in 1968. Just a reminder, there is no smartphones, there is no internet, there is no watching movies on repeat. You just have one ticket and one chance to watch this movie, and you, if you want to watch it again, you got to buy this ticket again.
And then you ponder.
Definitely. So you always have been interested in like sci-fi.
I think this is what I'm most interested in right now. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can definitely see some of that like in your first project when you were in Vietnam. The the music video that you did with Goong 7. The song Andanayamroy, which translates into Vietnamese. It's probably
I
told you, bitch.
I heard you.
I already told you, bitch. Man. Already told you.
Yeah.
Goong 7 sounds like a gangster
really
name.
Difficult to
is he a gangster? Is he a rapper?
Sexism, and which is not in Vietnam, because this is like
crazy.
This is definitely offensive if you put it that way. But like, if you say in Vietnam.
Yeah. Well, it just means
like,
literally already
talk
told
about
you.
To
you know, like
they did, and nothing much. Like it's nothing about like I'm better than you or I were right.
No, it's not. It's not. It's you know, like for me, it's just a passive aggressive.
Yeah.
Like I already told you,
then
honey.
Then I'll deal with it yourself.
Honey.
I'm here, waiting for another moment to say, I told you so.
Can we put that video on?
Yeah.
Okay, go back to the guest. Sorry.
Oh, fuck, you were actually pretty close to the meaning.
Sorry about that.
There's like a backstory of a girl who has a friend, a guy friend, you know, the friend zone guy. And the friend zone guy tells the girl, like, don't mess with, like, don't date with bad guys. Don't date with assholes or like for freaking morons, don't do that. And she keeps on doing that again and again. And this guy keeps tells her, I told you, so.
Oh, very real.
So,
oh fuck, two's laughing because she knows this is my fucking love life right here.
Too painful.
It's too painful. I know it too well, baby.
I told you
too well. Let me light one up.
Personally, you're taking it personally.
I already told you, honey. No, it resonated deeply. I don't take it personally.
Anyway, you were saying about the backstory.
This is just the short, the simple story for. I guess this is what he is singing about, and this is what the video is about. It has a really simple storyline. You're just supposed to play it, right?
We're just gonna watch a bit of
it. Yeah, the cool story about this that it was shown on VTV right after it was released on YouTube. And the reason, not like a hey, look TV. At this really cool new music video by Kung Seven, but there were shots where a girl is smoking vape, and these are commercial shots with a company logo in it. So VTV apparently it's
definitely not gonna go on VTV.
Apparently VTV went. So VTV went pretty harsh on that point, but actually that added much more attention than we expected to this video, and it worked pretty well for us. Yeah.
I think you might have some fan inside the broadcast center.
I hope so. That's why I'm here. Okay. So on YouTube, under the video, there's a bunch of comments saying, like, from VTV with love and stuff. Yeah, so this video, I got the chance to make this project accidentally, and I got really lucky at some point. So it happened in October last year, and I was pitching my movie, my unfinished and never made movie, the cyberpunk one. And I got a treatment, a document with all the pictures, all the references, bunch of neon, beautiful shit and stuff, like flying cars. And accidentally, this is the future, right? Kung Seven just saw my concepts, my ideas, and he offered me to work with him on the music video. And of course, I said yes. I was really passionate about that, to have a chance to fully direct this kind of stuff for a well-recognizable singer like Kung Seven. Being in Vietnam for just 1 year, I think it's a good result already. So, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm really happy.
I watched this in
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Is that Goon Seven right there? Yeah. Is that the guy doing all the hand movements and shit?
Goon Seven is not of my generation knowledge.
Looks like a cool guy.
He went on hiatus for quite a long time. So, Fook is of the younger generation. So, you probably don't know, like.
Yeah. Beautiful Girl. He had this banger hit back in 2011
Young Blood.
Or 12.
2011.
Yeah.
When? How old were you then, Fook?
What?
Ooh.
2007.
We're going to ancient times.
Yeah.
I was probably in fucking middle school, like first learned about like jerking off and hentai. So, you know, and you can also see from like my present exterior, you know, I don't really keep up with the going on of the world. I live.
You probably were the first year
rock.
In secondary school.
And
because I was in my.
Yeah, I don't want to do the math on it. 2007. Probably first, second year.
You were 9 years old.
But yeah.
When Kung Seven came out,
I was 9 years old.
Banger, like
shit, man! I was still.
Like beautiful.
Wait, how does it go? How does the song go?
That's a catchy tune, actually.
Yeah, hot. Not the young 20-something lady on screen.
Yeah.
Normal, they don't, because before that they only show like what you call like the professional actress.
Yeah, not dangerous.
It's kind of funny,
not liable to break your heart, kind of deal.
So you know, like this girl was popular, but kind of was in a small town popular. Because if you compare it to Saigon, you know, like the popularity would just probably be within a district, not like a whole. That's why it's weird to like live in Hanoi and Saigon because of the scale.
There was a cool moment when I'm living in Tuduk. It's a wonderful district in Ho Chi Minh City, and I'm sharing a room with my roommate. And one day I just came home and I told him like, hey, bro, do you know who Kong Samun is? And he is like, yes, of course. In my high school, it was like nuts listening to Beautiful Girl. Like, he was really cool back in the days. Yeah, so I say, yeah, so I'm directing a music video for him. Yeah, and that was a definitely cool moment. Many people say that he's more like a dancer than a singer. And he's, of course, his top times were back in 2011. But working with him now, this time, I saw that he is a really nice person. He is hardworking and he is incredibly talented. And he wants to get back. He wants to get this freedom of creativity. He wants to be himself. And this was his approach to bring his new personality to the people. Maybe because of COVID it didn't happen, maybe of some other reasons, but he did a good job. He did really good job with passion, with all the willing. Yeah, he did pretty good now.
Sounds great. So basically, Boris, you've been in Vietnam for a bit now, and you've been involved within the filmmaking industry there. So, like, can you just give it like your two cents on the current state of filmmaking industry in Vietnam? And it's also an open question to all about to the rest of our panel.
Okay, yeah, that's a really good question, but I try to mention just the juice, just the beefy part. So the overall situation of film in Vietnam is pretty optimistic. So now it's growing, it's getting better. Like 3 years ago, what I saw, like what kind of things were production companies doing in Vietnam in 2017-18, and comparable to now, it's like, ooh, big step up, I should say. So as I see more people go to study filmmaking abroad, because there's no proper academies or universities in here, or places where you can decently learn filmmaking. People go to Singapore, people go to States, Los Angeles, Hollywood, people go to Korea, learn filmmaking, and then they come back to Vietnam and they share their knowledge. And they open their studios, they open their production houses, they start developing it. And the quality of production, no matter what it is, film, TVC, MV, in Vietnam is constantly growing right now. And it makes me really happy and interested to work with, of course. Yeah,
that's pretty encouraging.
There's a bunch of things to say about film in Vietnam. I'm not sure about Hanoi. I just know distantly what's going on in there. But the heart of filming and shooting is definitely Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, right now. Everything is done in here. All the biggest studios are located in here. And what I noticed, there's a lot of young people that are trying to make in film. They want to be directors, they want to be cameramen, they want to be sound guys, they want to be scriptwriters, actors. A lot of willing young people that definitely have a chance to make something in the future in the Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Just do it. No, that was
not work out great for them. That yeah, I didn't mean it for sarcastic. From you sounds that's just my tone. I'm sorry.
But it's from a place of love.
Yeah. Yeah.
See,
10% of
hope. It's from a place of love, you know. It's just like that's how I am. That's how I talk, and like, look at me. Like, how, you know, what's up, too?
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that you guys have seen some really good Vietnamese movies recently, for the past year, at least.
Technically, I would say I'm very impressed. Like, movie look beautiful, the sound design, like, or like the shot, it starts to look very nice, purposeful. But to watch a movie, I want
the writing
to
seems
the
to be
story.
A bit lacking.
I'm most interested in the storytelling of it, not because the look of it. Because, you know, the look can be same across movies. What we are looking for is the way of telling a story through the medium of movie. But it's kind of like sometimes we have it, sometimes miss it totally, and then sometimes we. It's like the Chang Mao, you know, about that. Like they borrowed script from Spain or something, and it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
that is made by Vietnamese, you know, Vietnamese adapted to Vietnamese script. Fantastic. But I was like, is it fantastic because of our technicality, our ability to make a movie, or was it because it's already good as a story?
Because I haven't been.
So it's good, but it's
because
not
even original. Like I haven't been back to Vietnam in a long time, so I haven't been seen Vietnamese film in the cinemas yet. But sometime I would go back and watch like really old Vietnamese films, like on YouTube. A lot of them are now really available on YouTube, and you can see right even though so this movie made in the 70s and 50s, like even though they were lacking in terms of like maybe sound design or like you just budgeting problems, you know, because Vietnam at the time was quite still quite poor. But the quality of storytelling was subsidies.
Which decide their survival.
You can see how well, you know, they do their job.
But the story is always, you know, quite in depth and is very good, high quality, and the acting was actually much better. And it was the acting was very good for his time. And a lot of people they would decry about the decreasing quality of acting in recent years at the expense of improvement in other areas.
Yeah, so the number one priority in the whole filmmaking is storytelling, as two mentioned already. Yeah, so if you're making a film, just tell a story. It doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter what camera you have, it doesn't matter what lighting or actors you have, just tell a good story and use everything you have. And Vietnamese movies, yes, they did make already good story, but I think it's a good way in terms of practice because Vietnam is on the way to make onto making the first blockbuster movie or something like really big. Recently, Trang Thi, it's a pretty big project for Vietnam. That's what I've heard. About this comic magician boy, magic kids.
Chang Thi. Smart kid, a prodigy.
A really smart kid, essentially, you know, and there was a whole comic book thing.
And there was like a series of comics about this guy. I've heard some complaints from my filmmaking friends, Vietnamese filmmaking friends, that in the movie, they added this magic and too much color that made it look too childish, too much kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yes.
too whimsical and too
The
magical.
origin.
It makes it very hard for me to watch it. Yeah, what I saw the trailer and there was like two guy and it was like all CGI and I'm like already I'm thinking in my head like
Yeah.
they have to put this in here to
Is
make a
there any
story
space for
to make it more
story
watchable.
between these CGI effects?
Yeah, and actually, if you read the comics, the stories are actually quite good, and because a lot of it's centered around no magic. It's just a battle of wits, and
And
stories
there's
from
no
like
magic shit,
Vietnam
yo.
history and
It's just
mythology and
arts.
stuff. Oh yes, that's the trick.
Yes.
So the guy was using his own brain, his smartness to
Yep.
fix the
That's
problems.
right.
But in
Yeah.
movie, it
It is
goes all
like
to the magic.
this magic given to you by some
That's right.
maybe working for government
Yeah.
thing.
Oh, here I go, but back again to the conspiracy.
Here we go.
I'm
Keeps coming back to this. You gotta address the elephant in the
The
room.
Infinity Stone was Vietnamese
But
No,
has
that's
anybody actually
why.
watched the
That's why I
movie
know. We're discussing the
itself? Because
movie that we haven't watched.
there's a quarantine going on right
This is
now. I just saw the trailer. Yeah, we're
we're ahead of
discussing
the
a game that we
game
haven't watched. So we're ahead of the game. We can astrally project ourselves to the theater.
trailer. We're gonna have critique for 2 minutes.
I see it every fucking time I go up to my room. It's just like there's a little promotional like TV thing. They keep playing the trailer over and over again. I still don't get what the storyline is about from the trailer. Like, what are
Nowadays,
they
I
looking
feel
for?
like
Why are they
trailer were just
confessing to
like
fucking
giving you
CGI
the oh
gods?
look at the
What's going
behind the
on, bro?
scenes part of the movie. Like this is the juiciest shot of the movie. And
Yeah,
then
you see the
now to
whole
see
film
it
in one
on
trailer.
screen and then yeah. It's just like in order to see this shot on screen, you're gonna have to sit through another 99% of sucky
Yeah.
content. And so like, yeah.
Is the shot that we wasted 90% of the budget
This is why
on,
we pay
so
the
you
actors
gotta
with
see it
rice.
over
You're
and
talking
over
about
and over again.
a
'Cause we gotta make our money back, bitch. Yeah, that's why we gotta start paying them in rice. Put them in a creative gulag and just have them pump out, movies after movies. One of them's gotta be good.
Well, we got some big ideas.
Yeah, that's a very communist way of being creative. Don't go there. Don't go
But a
there.
lot of like, I
Don't
mean, like a
go
lot of
there.
like Russian writers. Of course, a lot of good Russian writers, when they
No,
wrote
it
their last word
wasn't
in the
right.
fucking gulag,
I'm pretty sure Leo Tolstoy did not write his
and soy
novels in the
sauce or
gulag.
whatever.
Probably.
I know.
You don't.
He was pretty comfortable. He had a pretty comfortable living. Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
back in my
you
days, in
can
my
write
country,
good
I learned filmmaking, drinking vodka, and writing scripts in gulag.
let
This
you be
is how we
as
make
stressy.
film
Call it creative juice
in my motherland.
in Russian.
The Russian
That's the
winter.
creative
It's an
juice.
inspiration for
Yeah.
all of us.
Oh, basically, Russian winter is basically the quarantine. Oh, it's a good
Of
old
course,
reason
Russian
to
winter
drink.
is an
It's a
alcoholism.
24/7 reason to drink winter. Yes. Warms you from the inside.
Keep you
Yeah.
warm. Yeah.
So yeah, we're talking about Trang Ti. I just want to summarize about this movie. Maybe the story is not that good as and people talk about this a lot, but it's one of the biggest efforts of Vietnam so far in film, and it's kind of deserves some respect and some attention. That's for sure. It's not the best movie. Of course, it's I'm pretty sure it's
Of
full of
course.
cliches and stuff
Of
like
course.
that. And
Yeah.
Yeah, but the technicalities of it is
Oh
something to be
yes,
admired.
that's a lot
You're
of
right.
it.
You're right about the fact that like you do have to recreate a lot of shit before you you know, you can actually something original, you know, that's of good quality. And that's what I've been going through to shit that figure out.
Also, we're discussing a Kiss movie. Let's not forget about
again. And again.
Kiss?
No, and I mean like
something you would never have.
Kiss? Band?
There's a...
Oh.
It's a kids movie.
Oh, yes. No, I have no childhood. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
I was grown in a bat. So, you know, like, it just came out 22-year-old. I got, like, 1 year of natural life.
Like, for me, my
see, I'm, you see, you see, you see, I'm, like, fucking smoking back-to-back here. Of course. Unfortunately, my warranty policy kind of ran out. They kind of don't want to take me back to the factory and grow another
brand. Maybe you're just the version who managed to escape next, and all your brothers are still there.
You know?
Yeah.
Of course. All my brothers are still there.
I can't imagine 4,000 of you.
And I'm the only one that got out.
Making podcasts at the same time.
Right.
You don't want to have that.
No. Anyway, it's been a very insightful discussion on the future, on the state and the future of the Vietnamese filmmaking industry. And it's a pretty good segue into probably on one of your most ambitious projects so far, Boris.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Saigon 3000.
Yeah.
Can you just tell what it is and
so
what's your vision for it?
Saigon 3000 is potential TV series that could be made or can be made currently but not finished. It's a series of short episodes, short films based in Saigon in a futuristic setup. 3000 is a year where it's happening. And this is an approach to create something like Love, Death and Robots, like Black Mirror, those kind of pieces that web series are bringing to us right now. So basically, it's different stories, the setup in the future. It's not really that epic. It's just short stories about people like you and me, what could happen to us in the near future. It's talks. Oh, why the fuck not?
There could be 4,000 potential bombs wreaking havoc.
Yeah. So yeah, and I just wrote several scripts that came to my head that could happen in Saigon and that would be cool to film on a good camera, and called it All Saigon 3000. Combined it in one thing, Saigon 3000. So it. Yeah, exactly. That's a good word. Anthology.
Is it like an anthology?
For now, I have like four scripts, four stories that are in Saigon 3000, but originally it was like three, just a trilogy. And the first one,
So this is like all the stories?
Yeah, it was really fun to make, you know, the process was really cool. So... these three stories are connected to each other with lore and universe, but different with the characters and like the situation. And it touches kind of different topics of cyberpunk. Well, cyberpunk genre it's defined as high-tech low life. So basically we're stepping deeper into the future. We have smartphones, we are having cryptocurrencies and technology is rising, but does that give us a better life? Does that make us happier and stuff like that? So cyberpunk is made to answer those questions. How do you see future? Is it like a dark dystopia, or it's a adequate development world where we live in peace and happiness and stuff like that? So yeah, this is my approach to look what's going to happen in year 3000 in Saigon. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
scientific
technological development.
That's it.
You're
just it's
gonna.
It's still gonna be.
High tech snack.
Because if it was like a utopian, what is that to write about? Yeah, you know,
it's still gonna be traffic in the year 3000.
It's still Saigon, even if 3000.
Yeah. Well, what are your guys' thoughts? How it's gonna
it's
be?
Still, yeah, it's still gonna be traffic.
What's gonna be Saigon in the year 3000?
No. Wait.
But were the like of the three scripts that you've wrote, like what kind of genre are they in? Like what was the like? Is it action, psychological thriller? Is there a comedy element thrown into it, or is it all just like serious, like grimy?
Yeah, I got it. Hoodie, that's a good question. So you know, all the three episodes, I tried to step into different genres. The first one is called Mu, M-U, so from Korean and Chinese, it means nothing. It's a short story about the young monk who is finding his way to the cyberspace. So he becomes the guy who can go into internet and log into Facebook without using any device by just meditating and praying.
Cyber Nirvana.
That's a good thing.
So he's like in the cyber Nirvana.
Enlightenment.net. Wow, that's a good one. just imagine that you can go on Tinder all night long without using your phone. So the first story is kind of
that's
thriller,
not a future,
more dramatic. I want to reveal the character that sacrifices himself to go into the new dimension and gain the digital immortality, is what they call it. Yeah, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, where traditional Vietnamese Asian religious stuff meets with the futuristic technologies and cyber sci-fi elements. Yeah, I think that makes horrifying, thrilling experience. Yeah.
Cool,
and the juicy part of this episode is the witch. So when he goes into the cyberspace, he meets with this firewall, the program that holds all the wrong ones from entering the cyberspace. And it's like a really scary creature that exists just from ones and zeros. Like she doesn't have a personality, she doesn't have soul, she doesn't have heart, she's just a program that only goal prevents some motherfuckers to get inside. Yeah, and the kid goes through it, and there's some really gory, bloody things going on the way while they're communicating between each other. So yeah, I'd call it horror thriller for episode one. Episode two, as you can see, the runner, the guy with katana, it's more a step to a neo-noir, to 90s VHS action movies, mixed with this Hong Kong John Woo style. Yeah, just a guy, and there is a good guy, and there is a bad guy, and they have a conflict, and they fight. So this is the key of the action film. You have a simple story. It can be revenge. It can be like betrayal. It can be love. It can be money. It can be anything. Yeah, and fill it with nice action scenes, with neon, with some VFX and CGI and stuff. Yeah. At this point, this episode is the most prepared one because. I got the crew to work on the runner. I got some people involved into building the universe, the story, the lore, the background of this character. So there is a lot of things created for the runners. So I put it in a book called the Pitch Bible that I keep in a secret chest under my bed.
no, it's a very secret now. So, you say
it. Yeah.
Runner.
Oh, yes.
There's a word katana there. Like
This is the heaviest person.
Keeps reminding me of that movie.
Heavy inspiration. So, you know, yeah, it's called The Runner. It's already the half of Blade Runner. Yeah, as well, there is a movie Blade, and there's a guy with a blade. So,
yeah.
Half of Blade Runner. Is there gonna be like an episode where you know, like it's just some Vietnamese dude and you know, he uses his Vietnamese ingenuity and jury rigging to like come up with some sort of like cybernetic limbs? And just, you know,
That's an interesting. I never think about this point.
Dark market or whatever.
You just talked about the black market that actually exists in Saigon 3000. So you don't have money, you don't have currency, you don't have credits, like there's no need to have one. But what has value is information. Knowing more is makes you more rich, more powerful, more strong. So yeah, the richest guy in the world are basically the guys who have more information. And this black market thing, there is an episode in The Runner when he visits this Vietnamese black market with all the analog devices, all the cassettes and VHS tapes, all the scrap, and there's a bunch of junks who are trading info. They're stealing information, they're blackmailing information, they're tracking information, and of course that's all under the table. So, yeah, you're really close about this Vietnamese guy doing dirty things.
Yes. This
is an important message from our podcast. Knowledge is power.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Knowledge is power, dude. And there's going to be 4,000 versions of you running around. So, you know, knowledge is power. I'm gonna be like
you would need 4,000 Harry Potters. So each Voldemort has one to kill.
Kill me completely.
There's something you can add to your script, Boris. 4,000.
Hey, that's Voldemort 4,000. That's my next project. Okay.
That's why people keep having children.
Come to think of it, isn't that another way of like just achieving immortality? Is just to clone yourself constantly, so that, you know. Yeah, but they're imperfect clones of yourself. You know, like they're gonna grow up and become ungrateful.
Repeating yourself like, over and over.
How you want to achieve immortality? Really?
Yeah. let me just finish it up with the third episode. It's just the grand finale. The third one is called The Glitch.
All right, let's move on.
It's about the girl who has Parkinson's disease. She has tremors in her hands, you know, pretty common problem nowadays. But usually old people have this Parkinson's disease, but this girl, she's pretty young and accidentally, bummer, she has it. She's young and her hands are shaking. She cannot write, she cannot eat properly. Of course, her social life is terrible. And one day, boom, technology comes to her house. A happy and kind doctor gives her the device that stops the tremors, and years of struggling, years of suffering ends up with just one press of a button. And right after that, Parkinson's is gone. Her hands are functioning much better than before. Years after, she has a successful life, a really cool career as a businesswoman. She has a car, she has a nice dress, she has a husband, and she has a house. And yeah, of course, she lives in Saigon in D1 or in D7.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Vietnam,
yeah. Now included. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's
how you know. It's going to be a settler colony.
Yeah, leading town, yeah. You have your own money.
Selling bun leaves or something, you know. You're successful.
Yeah, when...
yeah. Oh, Tallien's going to be up in the sky, like in huge elevator. In Deus Ex. The
stairway to Tallien. You know, it's going to
be a city up in the sky. That's going to be Tallien.
Crazy.
Paradise.
The first thing that you might probably be wanting to do after you get rid of Parkinson's is to make some bumbing, right? To go. I've been waiting for this moment all my life, just to snap some vegetables in that bun.
Fuck yeah.
Finally. that, yeah.
Yeah.
Making bun me for getting the digital immorality and making.
That's how you know you're normal. Mm-hmm. How you know you're Vietnamese. Mm-hmm. You that's know how to make a bun me.
So yeah. It
sounds pretty ambitious for our project, and you know, priest. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I won't be going into detail.
That's but, knowledge,
yeah,
right?
I spend a lot of time on this. For now, the virus, Corona, of course. So I guess this waits for a better time to be made. To be released. Meanwhile, I'm doing some other stuff that I can do, directing some smaller projects, and keeping up the good thing.
Definitely. And are you interested in casting any of our Saigon based panelists?
Can you tell me more about that? What is that part?
Are you interested in casting Du or Fuk in your projects?
Stop embarrassing us. We have a 2 full time job, man.
You had one job. you're talking about
stop embarrassing
or,
us,
like,
Dad.
Kitchen, right?
Stop embarrassing us.
Casting, yeah, just put Fuk somewhere as a villain.
Ah.
Or a small cameo.
I don't want to get famous.
Well,
I don't want to.
Cool character,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Of the bad guy,
Gimp, Corpo, like a cyber Gimp.
The rich villain. You could play it, probably. I think. So he multiplies himself into like millions, millions of times. I think that's one for you.
Shadow clone jutsu, bitch.
Great choice.
Is there gonna be a Vietnamese version of OnlyFans?
I had a concept of the app in 3000 that allows you to have sex instantly with anybody in the world, like right here, right now, baby. Don't think about it.
Ew.
So
you think about it
now,
the most common time of sex is that you think about it, but do you want it or not, or like just the moment it pop up?
It's like Tinder. You're swiping. It's like you're swiping partners,
security.
So if there is a match, you can have sex instantly, but it's actually a virtual simulation, of course. It's not real. I know that there is a product of underwear that a couple can wear on a big distance, and using an app on the phone, they can touch each other. So, for example, there's a guy in States, and his girlfriend is in Australia, and they're wearing this set of underwear. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Vibrator, butt plug type thing.
I wish I had that device, but not the woman. I want the device.
From years of experience and disappointment.
Yeah.
Wise
maybe
words
by year 3000 jerking off it will become too boring. Too much. I don't know. Yeah, make it a little bit more fun. hook coins, hooker coins,
hookers.
You get Bitcoin hookers. There's already Bitcoin assassins, you know, reading about it online. I don't know if it's real or not.
Bitcoin.
I think Bitcoin hookers is gonna be a very popular.
That's great. Sounds like it's a pretty cool project. Hope you have much success with it. Hopefully it will be picked up by any of the major streaming platforms, you know, like HBO Max or Netflix. I think
exactly those two.
Exactly those two. Mm-hmm. No, why? I mean, you could. I mean, Hulu. I mean, but then again, they're pretty cheap.
That's sarcastic.
You want to go into the top tier, you know?
Hulu.
I mean, that's Disney Plus, but you have to turn it down for the kids. So.
Think about the kids.
Pick up the children.
Not the kids, man.
Yeah, anyway, so I think we're now on to our final portion of this episode. So it's gonna be a quick fire pitch section. So our panel is gonna come up with movie ideas for Boris for different genres. The first genre is rom-com.
I'm not ready for this.
Fook, why don't you start?
So you're the expert. Fuck. I don't know. Maybe a romantic comedy about this guy who does DMT all the time, and then he saw, like Juwanza said, he saw like
Universal
DMT girlfriend one time.
Is that your phone calling?
Fucking Christ, my phone keeps ringing.
Yeah.
Oh. No,
say no more, fam.
Universal Pictures calling me.
We're
willing to offer you $1 million to make this rom-com, DMT rom-com, into a reality.
The movie's called DMT Date.
Okay. Anyways, let me finish my pitch. Okay, so this guy does DMT all the fucking time, right? DMT Date. Oh, that's actually a really good fucking name. DMT Date. So this guy does DMT all the time, and then he keeps seeing this female figure, you know, and every time he does, you know, DMT and he talks to this figure, like his life gets better, and then they start sort of developed a relationship. But the thing is, like, this girl lives in the astral plane, okay? Machine elves, has no form, no pussy whatsoever. This guy, a lowly human, not enlightened.
Wow.
Okay, I see a lot of potential here. It could be a TV series, if not a full length movie. Anyway, so that's my pitch. You know, let me know if there's any interested investors.
And then now you go full on. AI. Oh shit! I'm sorry. Now you're that far now. I see. You've been thinking beyond.
That was 2 years ago too. I've become enlightened. I've become enlightened. There's only astral sex for me now.
Noted down, man.
Yeah, okay, do you have any pitch?
That's right, Jesus Christ. It's a good idea.
Do you have anything to pitch?
Rom-com is like the new type of film, but not so.
If you ask God or Jesus, he wouldn't come up with a good idea.
When I see rom-com, I go straight to, you know, like a couple. Maybe that's a rom-com place. It's a rom-com.
Romantic rice.
Right,
that's what
right.
The patriarchy is, right?
diarrhea or like just maybe, yeah, or not. They bond over having and not having diarrhea. Because that's what we do when we were kids. Like, you remember when we were like in secondary school and go out and eat with friends at dessert place, and then the next day, if everyone all had diarrhea, then we would be like, yeah. And this pain is
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solidarity. Which is ironic.
All right.
There's a sense of solidarity in that, isn't it? Showing solidarity in the toilet. One wipe at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I swear to God, I'm just smoking fucking cigarettes and not anything else. You know, like, and these ideas just come pouring out.
You know, broken rice.
Been in there for a while.
Before the breakup. Broken.
Broken cum.
Yeah.
Dumb love. can we have a 50 Shades of Grey adaptation, but this time instead of Christian Grey, fucking say Adam Driver. And... and the woman lead is gonna be is gonna be I don't know, the lady that fucking delivers ice to coffee shops or something, like. Yes, this
well,
is
what kind of rice?
Well, I keep hearing the gossip, you know, and we should make it into a film.
Yeah.
Right. It is romantic comedy, isn't it? Like the fucking film, you know, a lot of funny hijinks is gonna happen. You know, and the woman delivers ice, so she probably puts some ice.
Okay,
in
that's
mouth,
I think that's enough of romantic. I think that's enough of romantic. Yeah, I think before we give folk any more ideas.
I know too.
Right, next one.
Yeah,
is,
let's move
historical
on. Let's
drama.
Move on. Let's move on. I hate one
copy. Here we go.
Does it have to be historical? Like, does it mean historical? Like,
or historical fiction, or
does it have to be drama?
You know, like something with historical elements.
Well, you guys trying to remember your history classes, right?
Historical drama. And like, yeah, you're the historian here. Can you give us like some interesting history?
Just give you
historical,
a
historical drama shit that happened, and then we can
13th, 14th century
from there,
and you have the Mongol invasion. So that's a starting point. The one where the Mongols invaded Vietnam like three times.
Actually, right. If this is a historical drama, I would like to pitch, like to make a movie about this. They say it's a theory, but you know, like the Qing Sister Army was defeated by the Chinese army, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of joke theory out there that saying that because Qing Sister Army consisted of mostly women, right? I think the majority of them were women warriors. Like, so the rumor was that the Chinese sent over an army comprised of naked men. So they running around with their dick out. And that's how Qing Sister Army lost, because they were so distracted by the dick. And people nowadays would say, it's such a sexist thing to say. But...
Oh my god.
Is that true? Like... I don't know. Are we like just assuming that people were such a brute?
Are they an army of well endowed men, or are they just like an army of the average Chinese?
Like, any movie can address that need in a serious way. Like, hey, this is because women were oppressed, not because the dicks are funny by itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so it's like, oh, I gotta start a fucking revolution and kick out the Chinese, but my parents are, you know, pressuring me into marrying this rich Chinese.
No, I think the big.
It's a pretty accurate description.
And ride it north.
The naked army. That's I think that's gonna be there's gonna be a recruitment problems.
Naked army.
Federal. Are you suggesting to wait for you?
It's gonna be It's gonna be really hard to recruit 4,000, you know, well-endowed men, well-endowed Chinese men. I can't be Chinese, baby. I'm too dark-skinned for that. I remember there was a story my teacher told me in a history class about like the Mongol invasion and how they were like trying to evacuate villages and like just basically trying to starve out the Mongolians so that they can win because the Mongolians don't have food and they're kind of dumb because they didn't bring their own lunchbox or whatever, you know, to battle. You know, he's kind of like, oh, we'll just rape this village and we'll get some food, you know? And that could be I don't know, like a fucking 12-episode long series about how we just like we're just fucking taking villagers and shit and evacuating them, you know? And then just starving out the Mongolians and then like, you know, the finale of that series.
That's a bunch action of adventure sort of vibe. Mongolians. A bit of comedy. Yeah.
Wow. 12 episodes.
What's the food?
What's in the lunchbox?
What's in the lunchbox?
Did you bring a lunchbox?
12 episodes. Where's the food?
Probably that's the name of the series.
What's in the lunchbox?
Yeah, previously on What's in the Lunchbox?
We still have no food and we're hungry.
Oh no, we still have no food. My parents were supposed to pack me lunch today, but they didn't. And now I'm in Vietnam and I'm starving and there's no villages to raid. There's no food going around. I have my fucking teammates dick
literally
to survive.
In what sense? Because it could be both.
I don't know. You're gonna make a series out of
Trump's
it.
Trump's sisters versus 4,000 naked Chinese men. And folks, we have this TV series about the 13th, 14th century Mongols invasion of Vietnam. What's in the lunchbox?
Please don't add this international.
We could answer that question in 20 series.
Yeah, all great ideas. So this is the last one. This is more in our forte, psychological thriller.
Okay, that's where we have to develop this 4,000 versions of me idea.
Yeah, I think that has some standing, but I don't know what I would do with the 4,000 version of me either. So like, it's just gonna be a psychological thriller about
maybe you'll be hanging out with yourself, make like the biggest party.
Yeah, like about 4,000 version of me died out.
But it turned out that it's not a party in the end; it's a massacre, and you killed yourself in the end.
Yeah, just RG. Like he just fuck himself, like people tell him to.
It's just a massive, or it's gonna be like a weird ass Eyes Wide Shut, and then everybody's gonna be like, hey, let's agree to all, like, it's just a dream. that reminds me of like that one line from that movie that Arnold Schwarzenegger started in, and then he's like, nice. Hey, what did you nice. Own yourself? And why is that?
Which movie is that?
I can think it's a movie.
That's a good catchphrase.
Oh,
I don't know. Like, it was a movie, like it was a Family Man or something, and like.
Okay.
I think it was.
You don't remember
it was. I watched it like fucking
when
7
you were
times.
Kid, you only remember the movie.
I remember that one fucking line. No, I don't remember the name. It's not Total Recall. Yeah.
Isn't that the whole point of podcast?
I don't know. Psychological thrillers. Let's be serious, guys. Let's like not think of funny ideas anymore, you know, for viewer engagement. But let's think of like a serious. Well, true. Yes.
What can thrill you? Let's think of
like something that's actually thought provoking because it's a psychological thriller. Marketable.
Sex would be part of it. A huge part of it.
A lot of things, most of them sexuals, but
well, the good examples are David Fincher movies. I think they are pretty good psychological thrillers. Seven, Panic Room, House of Cards, and basically this is the movies about crazy guys and what's going on in their heads. So, which would be your movie of which crazy guy?
And it'll probably involve a DMT book.
Okay. And that lady with eyes? Can you put that lady?
Lots of DMT or other psychoactive drugs.
With ice. I like ice. She's bringing
ice. Vietnamese lady with eyes. Yeah. A lot of people have eyes. But Vietnamese lady.
But that ice? Already, the, like Vietnamese lady with eyes. Mm. That sounds pretty thrilling.
Oh, ice.
It's been taken.
It's really difficult to think of something original because everything that's has really been written about. Yeah, it's been taken, and like, you know, like the whole time we're talking about this pitch meeting, we're just like, hey, can we have a 50 Shades of Grey, but this time with the Salem driver? Because it's really hard to think of like an actual original premise, right?
Good question.
Is there any Vietnamese psychological thriller movie?
That's already a psychological thriller. What do we? It's gonna be in a Vietnamese village. The harvest is approaching.
Is Drinkeo like a psychological thriller to you, or is it more of a drama? So it could be a movie about a couple in an abusive relationship, and they continue to gaslight each other, and then you don't know what's real anymore. That could be psychological.
That's already a documentary right there.
Right? And it's not like I'm living through it or whatever. It's a documentary.
Gaslighting.
There is a movie called Gaslighting. That's where the term comes from, right? From that movie. Because I never watched that movie. Have you ever watched that movie, Boris? It's a gradual process.
All right.
Right.
Interesting. The mystery.
It's a
interesting. Yeah,
very real.
Wow.
Yeah, another movie. Very real.
Okay. Movie. Yeah, that's a twist.
Talking about questioning reality, there could be a Fight Club that's set in Vietnam. I don't know how that would look like, you know.
Yeah, that's a Fight Club. Motorcycle or traffic accident. That's a Fight Club.
All the people start getting Fight ratchet, Club. And then just like, hey, that's a Fight Club right there.
No, we're just gonna have people watching, you know, and film it.
That's a Fight Club.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. But you know,
it's all right. So, but yeah, sounds like some thrilling ideas. So I think the best one we got so far is a documentary about folk romantic life.
Don't let me ramble on too much.
Mockumentary. We're gonna change your name, but you're still gonna be in it. Yes. It adds
to the mockumentary, like Borat, or is it going to be?
Fukumentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still gonna be in it. Hi, welcome to Fuk's Life.
Yeah, it's gonna be the longest breakup letters ever.
There you go.
2 hours.
Mm. 2 hours of non-stop psychological torture.
Psychological torture ideas for today.
I don't know. Certain people are into it, but not a lot. I don't see a lot of like psychological thrillers becoming. Well, I could be wrong here, but becoming commercially successful, not a lot. You know,
yeah.
Action comedy, just you know, like crime thriller.
Joker did it pretty well, like as a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the best movie about the Joker. Or the best movie ever, but it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
Joker
not the action,
it
it's not
well.
Rom-com, it's not nothing else but a psychological drama. Oh yes. Mm-hmm. The problem of a guy who
a lot of the inspiration
is
that
getting
movie
ignored
is
by people all the
taxi
time.
Driver.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
why what Joker and
yeah,
taxi
yeah.
driver
like,
are
so,
about. Grab driver.
Yeah. What if taxi driver was set in Vietnam?
Or cyclo driver.
Would it be grab driver? Would it be B? Would it be Seom driver? Like, what's the name? You know? Cyclo driver.
In the 60s? In Saigon.
But there was a film called Ciclo.
Because that could also be like a historical drama.
Yeah, the bicycle
like
death.
It was a cyclo driver. We don't do that
shit. Oh, yes.
There was a film called Ciclo, and that was released in like the 90s in Vietnam. And that was based on like the 1950s Italian film, The Bicycle Thief.
Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
So this guy just steals, sit low. It's really hard to think of something original, and then. I had a story about this struggling writer who like is living with this girl, and their relationship was really abusive, and he would like get blackout drunk and beat the shit out of her. And it talks about how like he wants to write a great work, but in order to feed himself, he has to write popular pieces in the news to make money. That could be psychologically thrilling to watch, you know, especially the domestic violence scene.
It sounds like something.
Right, Dohai. You remember that story?
It sounds like something
right?
Dohai would write besides the one about the cricket. Something for everybody.
Oh, fuck. I forgot. Jesus. Yeah, can you vouch for me?
Namgao.
Wait, no, I don't think it was Snow White. Like it's the guy that wrote Defail. Like what's Namgao.
Yeah, definitely.
Truth
in the face.
Yeah, 1940 realism, super depressing, super fucking sad. Could be, you know. And we have to study that in high school.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Drunk fucking writer.
Yeah, just go through. Just go through.
Not
the
really
Vietnamese,
his wife. You know,
archives of classic Vietnamese literature.
Yeah.
And you
so
find
there's
some.
That.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. Adapt
really
something.
Quick.
That's something. So I think that's the end of the segment. But before we hang up, final question to you, Boris. So what are your plans for the future? Are you working on any other upcoming projects besides the one we mentioned throughout this episode?
Currently, I have this Saigon 3000 project frozen, so maybe one day it will come to an end, as I said, but for now, it's just on the shelf. So what I'm trying to do now is to direct any kind of projects I can have, whatever it comes, like TVC or MV or short film. I like directing. It doesn't really matter if it's like TVC where you're getting paid just for your job, or if it's a movie when you put all your passion and love in the story and stuff like that. Yeah, I just love doing this. And while I'm here in Vietnam, I have these chances to get involved, to be on set, to work with wonderful, talented people in here. So yeah, that's my plan to grow and to develop in Saigon City.
That's great. And we wish you much success in the future and hope.
Thank
and
you
hopefully
so much,
we can be in any of your we can appear on any of your projects.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting. Our podcast.
Stop embarrassing us, Dad. Stop embarrassing us. Okay, if I want to act, I'll start a YouTube channel. Okay.
Once we have a budget.
In Russia,
or podcast. There you go. I'm acting right now, dude. You're not paying me. Are you paying me? You should pay me in rice.
So anyway, so where can we find you on social media?
Because we have a
button. Follow you.
Facebook is the easiest way. Just type Boris Meshkov. I guess all the listeners can find it somehow. Boris Meshkov, leave a tag on, and you find me. All the information is on my page. Instagram, YouTube, my website, the Saigon 3000 website, everything on Facebook.
That's great. Okay, thank you. And thank you so much, firstly, to our guest, Boris Meshkov, for appearing on the Xinjiang Homie podcast. And also thank you to our panelists, Du and Phuc. I'll see you next time.
Bye, and thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.